Good morning. Guys, we did it. Welcome to the last Sunday of 2018. Yes. You know that phrase, onward and upward, right? On to bigger and better things. Sometimes I often wonder if we truly do mean that. And this morning, as we speak about spiritual matters, I hope that we're able to look into 2019 with some perspective. Talking about being the true bride of Christ this morning. Share with you a little story right quick. You ever wake up in the morning and you're getting prepared for the day? You head off to work or wherever it is you're going and you just realize, oh man, I forgot something. I'm not prepared. I've done something and I've forgotten about it and now I'm remembering. I needed that thing. So this past week, we did a lot of traveling with family and visiting around in the Sacramento area for Christmas, for the holiday seasons. And we're going from one family member's house to the next and getting the boys in the car. And Malachi, he says to me, Dad, he's, you know, so emphatic about it. He's like, Dad, did you remember our Legos? Like, he had gotten some Legos for Christmas. He's very excited about it. And I said, well, yes, of course, I wouldn't forget them. And he said, and he wiped his face and said, whew, I was really worried. And it was really cute, but also at the same time, it just, from the mouth of babes, right? It's just, we see this reflection of life, of oftentimes we find ourselves becoming worried about things, or anxious about things, or forgetting things, or just not being prepared. And my question for you this morning is, are you ready? Are you prepared? I had the beautiful opportunity and honor to officiate a wedding a couple of weeks ago. And I don't know about you, but whenever I go to weddings, let alone officiate a wedding, it definitely puts my mind and my heart in a different place. And I begin to think about the decision that Sarah and I made when we were wed, the decisions we made when we were dating, rather, and just the preparation that all comes with that. And I just want you to put your minds there for a moment. Maybe you're married now. Sarah and I are coming up on year number 10. Maybe you're much longer than us. Maybe you've been married shorter than us. Maybe you're dating someone. Maybe you're not. That's okay. Maybe you're preparing for a big test. We'll put that in there too. But there's just like this preparation that comes along with things. And not only just the preparation of being married to someone, but just the preparation of just being with another individual. I think about the mindset that I was in some years ago when Sarah and I were dating and I decided that I was going to pop the big question. We had already discussed it. We already knew that we were going to get married. But still, there is this anticipation. You know, did I get her the right ring? Is she going to say yes? There's still like this anxiety and still these struggles. Is it going to be a beautiful moment? All this preparation that seems to culminate into hopefully a yes. The spiritual connection, I guess, if you will, this morning, as I ask if you are ready, is that with Christ, He's always ready. And when we may put stress and anxiety and worries in the things that we're preparing for, and we might get a no too, when it comes to our salvation with Christ, He'll never say no. And it's a very beautiful thing, a very reassuring thing that we know that God's love will always be there for us. Now, don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean that God is going to give you everything that you want. I'm specifically talking about your salvation and the relationship that you have with God. He will always say yes. Such a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, 1 John, John writes in 1 John chapter 4, and verse number 19, he says that we love because God first loved us. And here's this, where I'm tying this together, this preparation, this idea of becoming or being the true bride of Christ for you. The take home this morning is all about the way that we love. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I appreciate Nathan reading our passage this morning, but let me read it again for us. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're looking at verses 27 through 31. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has placed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, managing, various kinds of languages. Are all prophets? Are all apostles? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? And do all speak in languages? Do all interpret? Verse 31, but desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way. When it comes to preparing ourselves as Christians for 2019, I want you just to envision, what does that look like for you? Do you find yourself being more engaged in the ministries that we have already set in place? Or do you find yourself investing in new ministries? Do you find yourself teaching? Do you find yourself serving, cooking, giving? How do you see yourself in your preparation? Because I would contend this morning that as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, that there are things that we are going to continue to be doing like we did in 2018. And we have an opportunity as we prepare ourselves for those things to really take a different vantage point. And that's really what I would like us to do this morning as we think about the way we prepare ourselves, the way we invest ourselves in the body of Christ. Is it really for the right motivation? Are we doing it for the right reasons? Let's turn back to the book of John, chapter 14, if you will. John chapter 14. And Jesus says something strikingly similar here. And rather, Paul is the one who emulates Jesus' teaching here. But it's what Jesus has to say here in John chapter 14 that's really challenging. And he says this. This is John chapter 14. And verse number 12, Jesus says, I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. Very simply put, right? As Christians, as followers of Christ, we do the things that Jesus did. You know, and maybe you've heard it said that as Christians that we are like little Christ. Maybe you've read several of C.S. Lewis's books. The literal interpretation of Christian is not little Christ, but rather C.S. Lewis writes about this analogy as like though we are if, like we were little tiny versions of Jesus, we are doing the things that Jesus did. Now, you can easily do a litmus test for yourself if you're wondering today, well, am I a Christian? Firstly, are you doing the things that Jesus did? Now, it becomes kind of challenging because when you say things like, well, sure, I'm serving, sure, I'm giving, sure, I'm loving, but am I raising people from the dead? Am I healing people of their illness? Am I casting out the demons? Am I doing the things that Jesus did? Because Jesus said I would be doing those things. Not really, Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says the things that we would be doing. Check this out. Verse number 12, I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and he will do even greater works than these. And Jesus implies that the works that his church would be invested in, his people would be invested in, would be greater works than what he was doing. So the argument is that though we are not raising people from the dead, Jesus says, in fact, the work that his body is doing is even greater work than he's doing. Now, what on earth does that mean? What do you mean, Jesus, the works that I do are even greater? I don't know about you, but there are often times where I'm doing a project or I'm putting something together and it might fail miserably and it doesn't seem like I've done the thing the way it was meant to be. Maybe there wasn't enough preparation. Maybe there wasn't enough dedication. Maybe there wasn't enough, I don't know, you fill in the blank. Things fall apart. At that point, am I doing greater works than Jesus? Because he said, I would be. And maybe you feel like this is the same boat that you're in. And oftentimes, as a Christian, you feel like you've failed. Man, I'm not doing better works than Jesus is doing. How on earth could I? Ultimately, he died for salvation of the world. How could I do something better than what Jesus has done? Well, as emulators of Jesus, we do a greater work than just feeding people. We do a greater work than just healing people. And this is what Paul alludes to in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If we flip back over there, let's look at this one more time. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 31. He says, but desire the greater gifts. And it doesn't just end there. He says, desire the greater gift, and I will show you an even better way. So again, like Jesus stated, he said that we would do even greater works than him. Paul makes a statement here that we are to desire the even greater gifts. So then what is it? What is the better works that Jesus spoke of? What is this better gift that Paul is now speaking of? Well, there's an answer, and Paul gives it to us. And so does Jesus. He lived it. But Paul says it so eloquently here in the continuation of verse 31. He says, and I will show you an even better way. It's not enough for just somebody to tell you, but to show you is even better. And guys, this is what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is really all about. I don't know if you've ever read this chapter or this is something that's in your routine of reading. It is for me. It's one of my favorite passages because it helps me identify as a follower of Christ and it helps me to remember the greater gift that Jesus said would be better than just healing people or serving people. So what is it that I'm speaking of? I'm speaking of God's love. You know, as we talk about the love that we have with our family, and hopefully you felt a little bit of it this holiday season with your family, you feel the joy and the affection. I understand that some families are a little stressful, but maybe you felt that love and the affection, that familial love that you have for people. That's a great feeling, but God's love is much, much larger than that. And this morning, all my attempt to do is to help prepare us in understanding more about God's love. And the only way that I'm going to do that is by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know the story of Jesus. You know of his sacrificial love. You know that he died for your sins because he loves you. But what does that mean for you? Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and this is where we'll pick up with verse number 1. It says, I show you an even better way. And this is Paul's better way, which is God's better way. He says, if I speak in the languages of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I am a sounding gong. That is, if I speak eloquently, perfectly, if I say the right things, if I have all of the answers, but I say them without love, Paul says we are but a clanging cymbal or a noisy gong. And Lord knows there's enough noise in the world. Verse number 2, if I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mystery and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but I do not have love, I'm nothing. You know, and I know what you might be saying. Well, surely I can't understand what it means to be prophetic, but in many ways, you can. Part of being a Christian is speaking about the truths of God in the future. And one of those things that you know for certain is that one day we will either spend eternity with God or we'll spend an eternity separated from God. We call that separation hell. And it's very prophetic in our speaking because we know that it will happen. It's not like we're telling the future. We're not some soothsayers who are just speculating on the future, but rather is very prophetic in saying we know that one day this life will end. And Paul says if we have these kinds of gifts, if we can understand not only just some of the mysteries, but all of the mysteries of life, and we have somehow attained all of the knowledge that we can obtain, and if we have all of the faith so we can move mountains, but we have no love, Paul says that we are nothing then. And if I donate all of my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but do not have love, I gain nothing. For me, this is what's challenging, because it seems as if love might be this abstract thought. Yes, God's love is out there. It abounds. But it is also a very practical and tangible thing that I can guarantee you, you've never met anyone in your life that's mastered this kind of love. But yet, this is what Paul says we should desire. And Jesus said, even greater works would you do if you followed this kind of love. So what does that look like then? How can I know if I'm loving the way that God has loved me? Let's continue to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 4. Very simple as Paul speaks here. He says, love is patient. Did you wake up this morning and become impatient with somebody immediately? Maybe a loved one, maybe it's a child, maybe it's your spouse. It's very, very easy to become impatient with someone. And Paul says that love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It is not boastful. It is not conceited. It does not act improperly. It is not selfish. It is not provoked. It does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. See, the problem is we're babies. The problem is that we are immature. Maybe some of us have gotten to a point where we're older, but yet still in our walk of life, there are things that we will never know. Now, in the grand scheme of things, our idea of love is very, very, very immature. And I don't say that to beat us down or to belittle us, but rather this is the work that God is doing in us. It's the work that Jesus called us into, an even greater work. And it's a work that Paul spurred the first century church into, this greater thing, this greater gift. And it's the understanding, it's the everyday coming to understand God's love even more. And not just understanding it even more for ourselves, but then in turn, loving people the way that God loved us. And if you could master these things, if you could be patient with everyone in your life, if you could be kind to every single person you ever came in contact with, you know, the list goes on. If you could master those things, this is the giftedness that Jesus says is better than the raising of the dead or the casting out of demons. And you know, as grand as Christianity seems, and it is, it's also a very simple thing. And you know, when we think about our ministries and our opportunities that we have, if we did all of those things and we continue to do the same things we did this year as we do next year, you know, we're going to do Breakfast with Santa, we'll do Trunk or Treat, we do all these community events. If we do all those things, but yet we don't love our community, it's really for naught. It benefits no one anything. It benefits us nothing. More importantly, it benefits God nothing. When we seek to serve people, but yet do not have love. Let's continue. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love never ends. So Paul speaks at the parameters of what love is, what God says love is. And then he says that love never ends. So now he's going to put some parameters on some things that will end. Some things that you and I put a lot of stock in when we start preparing ourselves for ministry or in life. Paul says this, continuing verse 8, he says, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for languages, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will also come to an end. For we know in part. This life that we live right now is just a part of life. And that's all that we know. Maybe you're a child, a teenager, a young adult, a young pro. And maybe you're in your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, your 70s. We only know a part of our life at a time. And this is what Paul says here. For we know in part, but we also prophesy in part. Remember that idea of prophetic, the future? We know that we will also one day be in heaven as we search for God, as we seek Him. We only know a small portion of what that looks like. We only can grasp at the idea of what heaven is. And God says this love is never ending. Verse number 10, this is what Paul alludes to. He says, but when this perfect come, the partial will come to an end. When this perfect idea of God's love comes, the things that are partial in this life go away. And ultimately, I believe that as Christians, that is our desire. That is our pursuit. That as 2018 ends and we come into 2019, that we're better loving the way that God loved us. We're better understanding the way that He loved us. And that's our life, not just 2019, but hopefully 2020, 21, 22, and for the rest of our lives, we're coming to this better understanding of God's love. And one day, when you and I, when we kick the grand bucket, then we truly understand God's full depth of love. But while we've lived, we've desired and sought the better gifts. And what Paul says is that it's a more perfect way. Some translations say a more excellent way. Continuing in verse number 11, 1 Corinthians 13. He says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, and I thought like a child. Our understanding of God's love today must be different tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day after that. If not, we continue to live in this infancy in which Paul speaks of here. When we were children, we acted like children. We reasoned like children. In fact, when you were a baby, your parents nurtured you and took care of you and did things for you that you couldn't do for yourself. In fact, if you were to try to go back and do them today, you'd probably be embarrassed to do those things. You want your mommy or daddy to have to feed you from a little bowl? No, as adults, those are things that we can do ourselves. We've matured. We no longer need those things. So why do we accept loving people in an immature way? Why do we accept just loving people like we did yesterday, tomorrow? Paul says it's not okay. When I was a child, I spoke like a child and I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. And when I became a man, I put aside childish things. This isn't just inclusive to men. This is just the generalized statement that Paul is making. This is to men and to women. There's this maturing process that's occurring. And when you become in what you assume to be an adult, when you have matured, then you stop doing things that you did when you were a kid. Namely, the way that we loved people 5 years ago must be different. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and thinking, well, Glenn, I haven't. Then this is the message for you this morning. This is for you as much as it is for me. God desires that we love people more, better. More better. We must love people the way that God has loved us. And there is the challenge. Because am I really willing to die for someone the way that Jesus died for me? Probably not. I mean, maybe for somebody, for like my wife or my children, or somebody I'm really close to, my friends, surely I would die for them. And maybe even for some of you I would die for. But what about for your enemy? Or what about someone who's just rude to you? Or somebody who you just think is undeserving of your love? Thank God that we are not God. Because we would do some pretty terrible things. Oh, you've been rude to me today? You're gone. Oh, I don't like the way that you looked at me? Guess what? I'm going to torture you and then you're gone. No, this is not the way that God acts. In fact, God is always patient. God is always kind. God is always loving. We'll wrap up with these couple last verses here. In what would appear to be a very challenging statement that Paul makes here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I say challenging because lots of people read through this and like, I don't really know what this means. Just categorically challenging to the mind. He says in verse number 12, "For we see indistinctly as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I am fully known." That's a mouthful that Paul is speaking here. But as you just look at it, it's actually really quite simple. Paul says, "For we see indistinctly." This morning, maybe some of you stopped by the mirror to take a look at yourself. And even before you left the house, you stopped again to make sure that you didn't have food in your teeth, or that your hair was right, or that you looked the way that you looked before. See, as human beings, as immature humans, we don't fully know even who we are. We can't even grasp fully who we are. And this is what Paul says, that this is what happens when we come to this perfect love. It's like standing face to face. And he says this, "Now I know in part," right now, I just know a little bit about God's love. "But one day I will stand face to face to his miraculous love. And then I will know fully as I am fully known." And Paul ends this thought here with verse number 13. He says, "Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." And my challenge for you this morning, as we look into 2019 and being the bride of Christ, that we love more like Christ. We love more of Christ, and we love more like Christ. That's going to cost you something. And I'm not just talking about dinero. I'm talking about you. It's going to cost you. You know, some people, it costs them their actual life. It might cost you your time, your efforts, your energy. It might cost your blood, your sweat, your tears, but it's going to cost you. And I would encourage you this morning to pursue the better gift, to pursue the more excellent way. And what Jesus says is even better works than he did. Pursue this avenue of love. If you're here this morning and you're finding yourself saying things like, well, my love is not like God's love. We have opportunities to rectify that. You don't have to continue to live that way. It can be resolved and quite quickly as well. If there's something you would like to study about, if there's somebody you would like to, something you'd like to pray for, you have opportunities this morning. If you haven't turned your heart over to God, we'd encourage you to do so as we stand and sing.